Good evening and welcome to 49ers After Dark. We're your hosts, Grant Cullen, Jesse Naylor. We've been doing this show for years. It is a staple of YouTube and basically American life. So, Jesse, how you doing?
It's as American as apple pie. Mm-hmm. 3 years, Grant. 3 years we've been doing this show. That's crazy to think about.
It's crazy. So this isn't necessarily the 3 year anniversary, but let's say it is. And on this very special night tonight, we're going to be debating whether the Niners should trade Brandon Ayuk. Some people say that Jesse never disagrees with me. Well, wait till tonight because we're going to be debating the Brandon Ayuk topic. We're also going to be giving away a Brandon Ayuk jersey, a signed Brandon Ayuk jersey. Hold on. I gave it away. There was someone who won it. I emailed the person 3 times. They never got back to me. They're out. So we're going to debate Brandon Ayuk. We're going to give away the Brandon Ayuk jersey. If you want to sign up, use the Sleeper app and make a deposit using promo code CONE, COHN. It's that simple. It's doing all kinds of stuff tonight.
Who doesn't accept a winning prize?
I don't know.
Wow, that's kind of crazy.
Maybe they thought I wasn't the real Grant Cone emailing them, but I like followed up 3 times. I've done this with other people. This person missed out.
Wow, that's a bummer. Well,
we're also going to talk about Brock Wright.
Somebody else's win.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Got to talk about Brock Wright. We got to talk about the Super Bowl window. But first, let's talk about D'Amico Ryans, the Texans, because they just traded for Stephon Diggs. And now their team is kind of loaded. And the question I ask you is who will win a ring first, D'Amico Ryans or Kyle Shanahan?
I feel like the easy money right now is oddly enough on D'Amico Ryans. I mean, they both have quarterbacks that are on rookie contracts. I think that CJ Stroud's better than Brock. So he's got the better quarterback. He's got him on a rookie contract for longer than what Brock's on. And I just think overall the 49ers, because the way that they've spent money all these years, they're really starting to come up against it. Next year, they have 39 unrestricted free agents. The Texans aren't in that situation. Most of their team is going to be intact, and they just keep adding to it. So I would say the safe money right now would actually be on D'Amico Ryans. Really, if the 49ers don't win it this year, I think their window with this roster is pretty much closed, and then you've got to kind of retool on the fly and hope that Brock can be the franchise guy. But you don't have to make those decisions on CJ Stroud for a few more years. So I would go with the Texans and D'Amico Ryans.
I'm trying not to be too snarky here because we're 3 minutes in and it's a Niners show. But I could just say, I mean, D'Amico because Kyle won't win one. He's had his chances.
Ooh, yeah.
But I won't say that because a lot of people, reasonable people, who think that Kyle could be the next Andy Reid and frequently point to Andy Reid's track history. So, okay, maybe Kyle will win one when he's 60. Sure. I'm open-minded that he could be the next Andy Reid and win one when he's in his 60s, maybe 15, 20 years from now. So yeah, I think D'Amico will probably win one before him if he wins one.
Well, okay, let's make a case for Kyle Shanahan because we both agree on this one. So let's go the opposite side. Why would Kyle Shanahan win one before D'Amico? I would say Kyle Shanahan's in a much weaker conference. The AFC is absolutely stacked. Just to get to a Super Bowl, you have to get through Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. That duo is probably going to be there for at least a few more years. So even though we look at that Texans window as being more wide open right now, I would say the fact that you have that duo standing in your way just to even get to the Super Bowl is tough. You've got Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. Most of the elite quarterbacks are in the AFC. So it's going to be very hard just to make it to a Super Bowl. And then once you're there, you've got to win it. To where the 49ers, the path should be easier unless Caleb Williams is a superstar right away. Most likely the quarterbacks in the NFC are going to be much weaker than they are in the AFC for quite some time. And that allows the 49ers to have an easier path. And then once you're there, you just have to beat one AFC team versus having to go through the gauntlet just to get there. So I would say that's the case for the 49ers.
Thank you for making it, because I don't feel like making it tonight. Look, the thing with the Texans, what makes them kind of scary like now is it seems like they have the best quarterback who's still on a rookie deal. Is that fair to say?
For who? The 49ers?
The Texans.
Oh, the Texans? Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they have a quarterback who could be in the MVP race this upcoming season, like Brock was last year.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, he has a bigger arm than Brock. He can do a little bit more physically, a lot more physically than Brock. And now his team is stacked. So the Niners have a Super Bowl window. The Texans Super Bowl window just opened today with their trade for Stephon Diggs. And it's going to be interesting. I mean, these are the two of the better teams in the league right now. These teams could be in the Super Bowl together next year. I think it's really
interesting. How fun would that be? That would be a hell of a Super Bowl. That's a lot of storylines there. That I'm rooting for that Super Bowl. That'd be great.
That would be absolutely phenomenal. So, yeah, okay. I don't want to dump on Kyle too early. We're just 6 minutes in. Marcel Wilkerson, member for 6 months. Thank you. Brother, really, Kyle Bob says, safe money, don't make money, though, but Kyle Levy always chokes.
Yeah, so then you're with us in betting that the Texans, that's the safe money, right, Brother Bob?
Yeah. I don't want to get to the Ayuk debate just yet. I want to make people wait. So I want to get to the other news of the day. Brock Wright ripped away from the 49ers' hands. They thought he was a member of the family, but then Detroit said, you know what? No, we need Brock Wright. So now, what are the Niners going to do without Brock Wright? What are they going to do?
I mean, they had just a few hours and he was theirs for the next 3 years. It's, I don't know. I mean, that's it. That's probably the Super Bowl window. It's closed.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, pretty much.
Here's the thing is when you look at the roster and the way that they built it this offseason, if they were able to fill that tight end spot, you've basically left no pressing needs in the draft for this season. Which means you really, truly can go best player available all the way through the draft and try to build going forward. Now, because Brock Wright is not there, the way that I see it is tight end now does become not a pressing need, but I would say you've got to draft one round three, round four, and kick the tires again. Because right now, behind George Kittle, you have nobody that is proven. Latu, self-admittedly, from John Lynch, did not make the team last year. The only reason he was kept a part of this roster was because he had the season-ending injury. He said if he didn't have that, he wouldn't have made the roster. That question was asked to him. So you have that. Willis basically didn't even play last year, so we have no idea what we've got. So yeah, I mean, there's just really not anything there that you can count on. And George Kittle, for the first time in forever, actually was healthy last year all season long. I don't know that you can bank on that again. So even if he misses one or two games, who is going to fill in and at least be serviceable? I don't know that they have that answer. They've got to continue to search for it. Free agency, I don't know that there's anybody out there. They're going to have to draft somebody, I would think, somewhere in the mid rounds and see if they can hit.
It seems like the Niners outthought themselves here. It's like, did they prefer Brock Wright to Charlie Warner? They both got the same deal. Or did they offer Charlie Warner 3 years, $12 million, and he get the same deal from the Falcons and say, I would rather play for the Falcons? And did that surprise the Niners? It's possible that happened. So then they try to steal away a restricted free agent from the Detroit Lions, and then they fail. So they're kind of flailing here. Now, again, the Niners don't use their number two tight end very much. It doesn't seem like a very important position in their offense. It's like something Kyle wants to have. So he could draft this guy. He drafted Charlie Warner with like a sixth round pick. We're talking three targets and some blocks.
Yeah, that's very true. But if you think about it, God, they've really been scrambling to try to have a true second or backup tight end for a long time. You know, they put their eggs in the dwelly basket. That never panned out. They drafted two of them last year. So far, that hasn't panned out. They had Jordan Reed for a year. That didn't pan out. They've really tried to make this work, and then they went and got Brock, thinking that maybe they could steal him from the Lions. That didn't work, and so this is a position that they've really struggled to find any feasible talent outside of George Kittle. Thank God for hitting on George Kittle, because really, if you look at their track record at tight end, it has been awful.
Yeah, what's interesting, too, is like the teams that were in the final four, Niners, Lions, Chiefs, and whoever the Chiefs beat doesn't really matter. But the Chiefs and the Chiefs Lions.
Beat the Ravens. Ravens have
Ravens. All these teams have multiple tight ends, except for the Niners. I mean, the Chiefs use three tight ends a lot of the time. So it seems like that's a trend with the best teams in the league, and it gives your running game a lot of options. The Niners were totally gashed by the Lions from their 12 personnel package. So maybe the Niners want to do some of that too. But unless Cam Latu gets a whole lot better, their offense is probably going to look the same this year. Unless they draft a guy. It just doesn't seem like this is the year to do that.
Yeah, there's going to be some guys in the mid-tier rounds. But again, coming out of the draft as a rookie, I don't know that you can just expect that one of these guys can fill in for George Kittle for three games and make it look good. But here's what the 49ers did do. Any time that they miss, they make sure to fill that spot with a running back. So they got another one of those. Good to hear.
Yeah, let's talk about that real quick before we move on. The Niners signed a running back today. Patrick Taylor, hadn't really heard of him. He was with the Packers, played a little bit, undrafted free agent, restricted free agent this year. The Packers didn't even tender him. They were like, you know what? You can go. Thank you very much for your services. And the Niners signed him. How about that? So what do you think?
I honestly don't know anything about him. I had never heard of him. I take pride in knowing a lot about what's going on in the league and who players are. I don't know who he is. It doesn't mean he's not any good, but he's probably been buried for a while on that roster, and now he's going to come over here and be buried. I don't know. Is he good at special teams? Is that where they plan on using him? Can he be a kick returner with the new rules? I don't know. I don't know anything about him. I really don't. So we'll see. But Mason Mitchell, they're both free agents at the end of the year. It would be a shame. I saw your tweet today, the free Mason tweet. This is his final year before he's a free agent. What if he doesn't get any burn again this year and then just goes somewhere else and is pretty good?
That would be exactly what I expect to happen. That's exactly what's going to happen. It's ridiculous.
He'll be on the Texans next year.
Look, with this Patrick Taylor news, I feel like it's kind of been like every single move the Niners have made this offseason, except maybe the Leonard Floyd one, where it happens and you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, that's neat.
It's neat. It's not a fucking thing. It's like, how did this guy get on their radar? Like, oh, this guy's not going to make a difference whatsoever, but nice. I wonder, now that they've lost Adam Peters, he must have had... I mean, he's a real personnel man who knows all the players. And now they just, I don't know who's picking the players. It seems like maybe Kyle was hanging out with Matt LaFleur at the owners' meetings and they were probably drinking. And Kyle's like, come on, Matt, you got someone I need. And Matt's like, hey, I got this running back I don't want. What do you think of him? And so Kyle comes back and is like, hey, I can't tell you where I heard this, but got a tip.
Did he use the Williams line? You know, if we don't get him, I'm going to be sick. I will be sick if we don't draft him. It's like,
oh, I can't wait to ask Kyle Shanahan. Give me the top 10 reasons you signed Patrick Taylor. This junior. Patrick Taylor Jr. Not to be confused with Patrick Taylor Sr. Get it right. Okay, let's do the debate. All right. Little context. This morning, I was doing a show with Rob Guerrera, couldn't contain myself, came right out and said, you know what? I think the 49ers should trade Brandon Ayuk. Been thinking about it. I made my decision. I think it's the right business decision. And rather than rehash my argument, you can go back and watch it later. It was this morning. I'm going to let Jesse cross-examine me right away, and then I'll do my best to rebut his cross-examination.
All right, so I have three questions for you. The first question is, do you believe that the 49ers should transition and start building around Brock Purdy?
Do I think they should?
Well,
yeah. Do I think they will? Absolutely not. Okay, yeah. Do I think the Niners offense should change and evolve into becoming more pass-centric? Absolutely. Do I think a Shanahan will ever make that evolution? Not on your life.
Okay, all right. So that's two different things. Do you think Brandon Ayuk's best years are ahead of him or have already happened?
I do think they're ahead of him, especially if he goes to another team.
This is what's interesting about the Brandon Ayuk situation, just to kind of sidebar off of this. Deebo Samuel, when they paid him, I think anybody who looked at things objectively, nobody said, hey, he's going to fall off a cliff, but pretty much everybody looked at that season that got him paid and was like, that's the best year of his career. It's not going to get better than this. Right. With Brandon Ayuk, I feel different. I feel like the best years are ahead of him. In fact, I wouldn't be shocked if he plays 5 more years, 7 more years, that we say the 3 best years he had in his career happened after he gets signed, whether it's by the 49ers or whoever else. Yeah, go ahead.
I think it matters who he's with, though, because if he's with the Niners for the next 3 years, is he going to get more than 110 targets in a season? Ever?
Oh, we're going to address that. We're going to address that. So,
see, that's what I'm saying. The way I see it is, if he stays with the Niners, he stays in his role. He's the number one receiver on the team. Number one. But he's catching 75 passes a year, scoring like 6-7 touchdowns a year. And if he's not averaging 18 yards a catch, he's, you know, barely scratching that 1,000-yard mark at no fault of his own, because I do think he's a great player. It's just what the Niners do on offense.
So here's the way that I see it. If they sign him to a 5-year deal, I see a real scenario that after the 2025 season, so not this season or the next season, that CMC, Deebo, Kittle are all off the team. They're all getting up there in age. They're all very expensive. And it doesn't have to happen all off, like one off season. I could see Deebo gone next off season and then the other two gone the season after. So the way that I see it is, if you want to build around Brock Purdy, you want to have a guaranteed guy to throw to for the next 5 years that is probably going to get better and will see more targets as this thing progresses. All the other weapons are being stripped away. If you get rid of Ayuk now, and then you basically can bank that the other three are gone in the next 2 seasons, where are the weapons coming from? I mean, are you going to have to sign free agents? Did you hit in the draft? We know that's a crapshoot. That's why I think they have to keep Ayuk. And that's why I also think that Ayuk will perform here throughout the course of his contract. Maybe year one, it looks a lot like it did last year. But after that, I really start to see things ramp up out of necessity, because these other guys are going to decline or not even be on the team.
It's one thing to have Brandon Ayuk on this team as a starting split end on a rookie deal and not fully take advantage of his skill set, because he's making not that much money anyway. And he's still your number one receiver. But once you pay him $27 million a year or whatever it's going to be, it's really going to put a microscope on how he's being used. And as long as Brock Purdy's the quarterback, I'm sorry. I know he's very good, but I don't think you can ever fully take advantage of what Brandon Ayuk can do. If your quarterback is Brock Purdy and you're taking like 3 or 4 deep shots a year, he should be getting a deep shot a game. And he would if he were on a team like the Chargers or the Bills or the Chiefs, where he's not going. But he could go to Buffalo. So as long as Brock is the quarterback, Colton McKivitz is the right tackle, John Feliciano is the right guard, you know, like as long as the offensive line is geared towards running and the quarterback is a specialist at throwing 15-yard digs and the head coach is the descendant of Mike Shanahan, who won his first Super Bowl completing 12 passes, with Ed McCaffrey at wide receiver, it's just never going to be an emphasis of this offense. It never will be. And that's why I think the Niners were rumored to be interested in Tyler Boyd. If they were to trade Brandon Ayuk, they would get someone like Tyler Boyd. Why? Because he would completely fit Brock Purdy's skill set. He can run a dig route behind linebackers off play action. He's tough. He could block. I'm just saying, on another team, Brandon Ayuk is worth $27 million for sure. On the Niners, I don't think Kyle Shanahan can make him worth it. And the reason he spent so much money on Deebo is because he felt like, well, we can hand the ball to Deebo, so I can always keep him involved in the game. But for Ayuk, we've seen it. Like, there are stretches, games where he's just not involved, like the Super Bowl. And that's on Kyle.
I think the other thing, too, though, that you really have to look at, and this may not bode well for my argument, but you and I see it in Brandon Ayuk. The last two off seasons, we have said that Brandon Ayuk should be a captain on this team. We've seen the leadership for the last two seasons. And I think a lot of people watching would agree with that. They've seen that leadership. You've seen it in practice firsthand, fighting Fred Warner, going at it with Deebo. I mean, I think Deebo really, it's crazy to think because they're a different position, but I think Deebo can look at Ayuk and be like, man, that guy made me better. Going against that guy every day and talking trash with him and rapping with him, that made me better. Ayuk is a leader, and he made it a point when he was talking, talking with, who is it? Shannon Sharpe and Ocho Cinco. He made it a point and said, hey, I've been doing the right thing since day one, which is a little bit of a message. I've done the right thing since day one. Screw the doghouse or any of that. I've done the right thing. So the way that I see it is if they get rid of him, this is very similar to moving on from the offensive version of Buckner. And we saw how much of a mistake that was, because now here's what we're looking at. Buckner's coming off of another Pro Bowl. Buckner is not that expensive in comparison to other players around the league that play his position. The guys that you kept over him, Ward, Armstead, and then drafting Kinlaw, are all gone. If you get rid of Ayuk, you're setting a tone for what's acceptable, what's not, who's a leader on this team and who's not. And Ayuk is going to be on Buffalo or wherever balling in 5 years or 4 years. And every player that you kept ahead of him is going to be gone. That would be a major mistake.
That would be a major mistake for sure. There's a difference, though, between Buckner and Ayuk.
True.
Buckner, it wasn't really an issue of usage. He was going to be on the field. He's going to be playing. He's going to be playing three technique. You knew what you were going to get. With Ayuk, it is absolutely an issue of usage. This is Kyle's problem, Kyle's fault. The fact that he's locked into this role, getting 6 or 7 targets a game, is the issue. And that was never an issue with Buckner. So that's what I'm talking about here. I had more things I wanted to say, and they're all going to come back to me in a second. But yeah, I mean, here's what I wanted to say. We're both trying to be general managers right now. We're putting ourselves in a general manager in John Lynch's shoes. And what I think is interesting about this discussion is if I were the general manager of the Bills, I would absolutely say trade for Ayuk. Oh my God. He's perfect. They don't take full advantage of him. We could do much more with Ayuk than them. It's almost like getting him at a discount because he could be putting up 1,600 yards a year, but he's not. And he never will in that offense. I want Ayuk. And if I'm trying to put myself in John Lynch's shoes, I'm thinking, you know, we could sign him and give him $27 million a year and everyone will pat us on the back and say, we were great. We took care of our guy. We did the right deal. And it's like 2 years from now, it's like, man, it's not our offense. It's just not what we're geared to do. We have all this money tied up in wide receiver and we don't throw that much. In fact, we throw less than everyone else. And we really could use like a better offensive line or a better safety or whatever, better linebacker. It just seems like in a couple, like right now, how the Niners feel about the Debo contract. It's like $28 million cap hit for what? For what? And that could be Ayuk in a few years, just because the Niners are so committed to handing the ball off. You'd think it's going to change. I don't.
I do. Because out of necessity, I don't know where else is it going to go if all these other guys are gone. Unless they replace these guys on the fly and get other good I don't know.
Will spare no expense at the running back position. Do you not know Kyle Shanahan?
That's
true. Let me introduce you.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. Dude. Yeah, I got you.
When Christian McCaffrey is gone from the 49ers, they'll get someone and pay him even more to play running back. That's my prediction. I feel like I'm
guess,
on fire right
I
now.
I guess the biggest difference is really there's what they should do and there's what they might do. Or, you know what I mean? You could see Kyle justifying what you're saying and be like, we can move on without him. We got this. I don't use him anyways. We'll bring in Boyd. We'll draft another receiver. He'll sit there for a year. He'll be good in a year. And then we'll get an O-lineman or whatever, defensive end, I guess, by trading Ayuk. I don't know. So I could see Kyle Shanahan justifying it. Really, what this comes down to is how far apart are they and how much is too much? I love Brandon Ayuk, but if Brandon Ayuk is truly asking for $27.5 million, that's too much. It just is. I don't care what team he's on. That's too much money.
I mean, Buffalo, if you want to pay that, great. But on the Niners? For what? For 75 catches? You can't spend $27 million on 75 catches and 7 touchdowns. And he's a great route runner, and he does everything right, and he practices hard. It's too much. It's too much. I mean, freaking CeeDee Lamb caught 135 passes last year. That's the kind of commitment you have to a wide receiver to spend like this. And the Niners never have. I mean, they did when we were kids, but not anymore.
The thing, too, is Buffalo actually can afford it, because the way that it works is that whole salary goes over to Buffalo, the $14 million. However, If they extend him, they're going to save $10 million. They're only going to pay him $4 million this year. And then next year, they have about $60 million in cap space. So whatever money he's making just goes towards that. They actually can afford this.
I just convinced Jesse. It's great. Come to the dark side, Jesse. Come to the dark side.
No, I'm not. You're not convincing me. I'm just saying Buffalo can afford it. But no,
here's the
I'm
thing,
not,
though. Even
I'm
though they traded Buckner and it was terrible, I like how you put it in context. All the people the Niners wanted to keep are gone.
Mm-hmm.
If they had just drafted Tristan Wirfs, it would have been all worth it.
It would have been worth it. You know, but who are they going to draft this year? Are they going to draft another wide receiver? And does that wide receiver turn into a bust? I don't know. I mean, there's...
That's a good point.
Do you trust them to find the replacement or find a really good player?
They've been drafting really well the last 2 years, so...
I see what you did there. They haven't had a first-round pick. They might hit on the first-round pick. I don't know.
I mean, no. Kyle picked Ayuk. That was a good pick. Traded up for him. A lot of people didn't know who he was. They were adamant. They were like, no. This guy is him and CeeDee Lamb in this draft. Now, Justin Jefferson was in the draft too.
I was going to say, Jefferson
okay, so he
available?
Was a little, okay. But still, yeah. He was close.
He was.
Another reason to trade Ayuk, and then we'll move on. I feel like his trade value is at an all-time high right now, and this is going to be the high. It doesn't mean that his play is going to go down, but I do think his trade value is going to go down because once he gets locked into whatever this contract is, it's going to be hard to move that because you won't move it the first couple of years because of the dead cap. Then you wait a couple of years, then it'll be 28, 29, and then he'll be like a four consecutive years of getting 75 catches, and people are going to be like, well, I think we're going through it right now with Debo. Who the hell wants to trade for Debo's contract?
Nobody.
No one. Nobody. But people would like Debo. He's a good player. Yeah. But not that contract.
Is the right thing actually in between, which is just let him play on the fifth-year deal, franchise him, and trade him next offseason? Is that actually the right
answer? That might be the
right
answer.
That might be the right answer.
Yeah. I like when we compromise. It's nice.
It's a good compromise. Actually, you know what the 49ers should do? If they're going to make a trade with Buffalo, keep Brandon Ayuk. Trade Purdy some first-round picks and Debo and go get Josh Allen. How about that?
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine Debo trying to catch a pass from Josh Allen in cold weather? Oh, my God. Could never
do that's
it.
What I'm saying. You would trade him and Purdy over there and then bring Josh Allen back. Yeah.
There you go. I like that. Yeah, because Purdy would do great in the cold. It's not like he has any problem with inclement weather. It's no problem.
None. His arm will cut right through that. It'll be fine.
All right. We're going to get to the Super Chats in a minute. But first, we got to do some sleeper picks. Not that we have to do some sleeper picks. We get... to do some sleeper picks.
We're degenerates on this show, so yeah,
absolutely.
Sleeper
picks. And these are just picks, though. And again, if you want to win that Brandon Ayuk signed jersey, you know what to do. Use the code COHN. All right, here are the picks. Warriors aren't playing tonight. Giants are, but you don't seem like a big baseball guy.
No, not at all.
So why don't we just pick big names? It's always fun.
Like
Durant, Kevin Durant. Have you heard of him?
Maybe once or twice. He's pretty good, right?
Pretty good. 25.5 points.
Yeah, we're gonna go more than that because
I think that's easy money.
They're fighting for seeding right now. All these games are super important for them down the stretch. Cleveland, believe it or not, might be the easiest game they have left. So this is almost a must win for them. So I'm gonna go with more.
Okay. That's good. You see anyone else you like out here? I'm just scrolling through the sleeper app. Curry isn't playing today, though. What is that about? I'm confused.
Yeah, what is? Is that for tomorrow, maybe?
It must be for tomorrow.
No, it says 9 p.m. Are you sure?
Are they playing back-to-back? I just assumed they weren't playing today. No, Thursday. That's tomorrow. We can do Thursday. Why not? Okay, Curry. He had 13 points last night.
That means he's going off tomorrow.
Is it? Does it? Is he getting old? He's 36.
He is 36, but off... He's going to have an off night, and then he gets to go. Who are they playing? Houston? Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I was just double checking.
Yeah.
Okay. Draymond, Clay. How about Clay? I like the 3.5 threes for Clay.
We do this every time. And
no, but he didn't.
Yeah.
Look at him. He's in a slump.
I've taken less on the threes every time with him.
What about Wiggins?
I think I'm 2 for 3.
What about Wiggins?
What about Wiggins, though?
What about Wiggins, though?
What's his points, rebounds, and assists?
He's at 13.5 points, dude. 13.5 for points.
I feel like it's
and a he trap. Had 23. What's the total
for points, rebounds, and assists, though?
You want to know? Okay, I'll tell you. 20.5.
Oh, let's go with that because he might get it in points alone. I feel like that's the safer bet.
Boom. I like safe bets.
Safer pick.
Boom. There it is. Those are our picks. Durant, Curry, and Wiggins. Lock it in.
Lock it in.
Locked. Locked. All right. Those are the picks. Are the 49ers holding onto their Super Bowl window a year too long, Jesse?
And the Buffalo Bills are just creating content for us like crazy right now. You got the trade for Stephon Diggs. That opens up the IU conversation. And this topic for me came from the Buffalo Bills because I'm looking at what they're doing. And to me, it's very clear that they knew, hey, we're not going to win a Super Bowl in 2024. Let's get rid of all the bad salaries that we have. We'll dump them this offseason. We'll take the hit. Next year, we'll have $60 million in cap space and we'll retool on the fly with our picks this year and next year.
Yeah.
And so I look at the 49ers and say, okay, well, the 49ers have a bunch of bad contracts. This theoretically is the last year because you've got 39 unrestricted free agents. Did you know that 4/5 of their starting secondary is free agents next year?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. That's a big deal. Yeah. 2/3 of their offensive line, starting offensive line, are free agents. That's not including Trent Williams. So this is the year. It's got to happen this year. But looking at it from the other side, one of the things that I talked about as soon as the offseason started is the 49ers have two paths. And I knew the path that they were going to go, which is we're going all in. We're giving this one last shot. Or you can realize that there's a changing of the guard. This team with this cast of characters is just not quite good enough. They're very good, but not good enough to win it all. And you can build towards the future, build around guys like Bosa, Warner, Ayuk, Brock Purdy, go around the young guys. And I think that would have been the right move. And watching Buffalo do it, I kind of admire what they're doing. It's tough to do that. Dallas, low-key, is possibly in a similar situation where they're saying Dak's not quite good enough. We're going to make him write out this deal. He may not be the quarterback next year because he's too expensive. I think it takes guts to do that, but recognizing a year early can save you years of heartache down the road. I think the 49ers, we're going to look back on this. We love it now. They're contenders now, but if they don't win a Super Bowl, and I don't believe they're going to, we're going to look back on this year and be like, man, if they would have just cleaned house that year, they would have set themselves up for years of success a lot sooner. I think this year might set them back 2 or 3.
Interesting. I completely agree. And what's kind of amazing about the Niners doing this is like, it's the kind of position that teams that have won Super Bowls usually are find themselves in. Like, we have all these champions and they're all like deeply embedded in our franchise culture and the city, and we can't move on. And you hold on to these players. Like, it's what happened to the Warriors right now, locally here. They have all these champions, Curry, Draymond, Clay, and they don't know what to do. And they're just kind of holding on to the good old days. And I guess it's a good financial decision because people want to go back and still want to see them play. But the Niners, you didn't win a Super Bowl. And they've acted this way since they lost the first time in 2020. To act like they have this team that is the best, and as long as they just hold on to it, that fortune will smile upon them eventually. Like, no, that's not the lesson you should have learned from the last 4 years. There is something off with your formula. And you had two shots to win the Super Bowl. You had two shots against the same team. The second time you went against a weaker version of that team, you freaking lost. So maybe it's time to switch it up a little bit. When the Chiefs lost the Super Bowl, they switched it up a lot of bit. And it worked.
Yeah. Yeah, the Chiefs, you know, it's interesting because even when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl in 2019, I'm pretty sure their team had more turnover by a pretty wide margin than the team that lost, which was the 49ers. They realize we can't stay the same and continue to win. We've got to change things up and get better. And they've done that after they've won the Super Bowls. They've changed things up. They got rid of Tyreek Hill. You think that was an easy decision? Watching him have his best years of his career somewhere else? No. And if they had lost the Super Bowl, that could have looked really, really bad, but they didn't. They've won Super Bowls because they
he's better than Brandon Ayuk. He's better than Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
And they traded him. It's a business.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, well, I am saying trading Ayuk is the right move for the 49ers business, but like, it's a business. Sorry. We went off.
How much easier would it? I think we would both agree on not trading Ayuk if the 49ers had done what we're talking about here and said, hey, you know what? We're going to take the cap hit on Debo now. We're going to take the cap hit on Kittle. We're not moving forward with these guys. It's not good enough. We'll get the draft picks. We'll take the cap hit. And we'll try to draft their replacements over the next 2 years. But
we'll develop Trey Lance, we'll get a good right tackle, we'll commit to an actual passing game. But no, I'm sorry, Brock. I don't look. Brock and Ayuk were a really good. They're a very good duo. But Brock's always going to hold back a receiver like that. I'm sorry, can you not allowed to say that on Niner? Oh my God, did I just lose 10 subscribers because I'm sorry. It's Brock. He's really, really good. He deserved everything he got. He's really, really freaking good, but he doesn't have a strong arm. And a high-level split end like him, like bad matches for Brock Purdy. Mike Evans, what are you going to do? You're never going to take full advantage of Mike Evans with Brock Purdy, but Tom Brady did. So there's no shame in that. I mean, when Drew Brees was playing, he didn't have a wide receiver like that. He had tight ends and slot receivers and running backs. That's just, you got to cater to what you got. That's okay. It's okay. But I don't think you spent $27 million. I don't want to get back in this debate. I don't want to do it. I already won.
I'll say this too. We tend to agree on Brock Purdy. I wouldn't make him the franchise guy. I've been very clear about that. I think you probably agree with me. Yeah. However, I do also see a path where I could be wrong. I'm not saying what I'm saying is gospel, but if they don't wait a year too long, here's also something that can come from this, Grant. By continuing to go all in this year, Brock's going to play good with this team around him. We know that for a fact. He's proven that. He's going to do that again, which means you are going to have to commit to him most likely long term. What if they remove some of the talent around him to free up money in the future? And figured it out this year. Hey, you know what? Without two or three of these pieces, let's see how good you really are. Oh, you know what? He's not as good as what we thought. We're not going to commit to him. We're going to save the franchise. If this team falls off next year because of those 39 unrestricted free agents, you've already signed Brock to a big deal, and all of a sudden you realize like, oh, shoot, he can't carry the roster the way that we thought. You're screwed. You are screwed. You cannot put the franchise in that situation. And they don't know the answer to that question. And quite frankly, I don't care what he does this next year with that talent around him. You're still not going to know the answer to that question. You're just not.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but every argument I've made for not paying Ayuk what he deserves on the Niners, does that not apply to Brock too? Like, yeah, Brock's great. And on another team, maybe he would be worth $60 million a year. But on this team that throws 29 times a game with Kyle Shanahan as the coach and that offensive line, like, why are you spending that much money on your passing game? It's not what you want. It's not the focus of your team. It's not. It never will be. So you can do it just because you're afraid people will criticize you if you don't. But is it really the right move for you? I mean, it's the same argument. Is it not?
Yeah.
It is. I mean, it's the same freaking argument.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you. I like the just give Brock Purdy a blank check because he's the best quarterback you've had since Jeff Garcia. Maybe not.
Yeah, and maybe here's the thing. Maybe it does end up being the right move, and that's great if it is. But man, I sure would like to be positive that it's the right move. And the only way you're going to know that is by stripping talent away. Not all the talent. You can't give him nothing. Josh Allen's got literally nothing right now. So good luck over there. But you know, one or two good guys, and let's see if he can carry. Let's see if he can carry.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. If the question is, look, Kyle's never going to really pass the ball enough to justify spending this much money on a quarterback, let's get rid of Brock and get another quarterback. Or you could say, let's just get rid of Kyle and get a head coach who knows what to do with a quarterback like this and knows how to pass. If you had to go with one, only have one, Kyle or Brock, who are you going with?
not do this? Is
that's a good question. That's a good question. Hell yeah. On the spot. Pick one. I know who I'm going with. I know who I'm going with. You already know who I know.
We're going to disagree. We're going to disagree on this one. We're going to disagree.
I'm going Brock.
I know you are. I know you are.
I am.
Here's the thing.
Brock didn't choke in the Super Bowl.
He didn't. He didn't. I am with you on that. I think
I'm a Brock stan.
Here's what I'll say. Quarterbacks are the most important piece to winning a Super Bowl. They are more important than the head coach. I believe an elite quarterback can transcend enough to even win in spite of some of the things that Kyle does in these big games. The way that I see it is, when you look at the salary cap era, look at every quarterback that's won. They're either elite or they're inexpensive. Yep. Right now, Brock fits the inexpensive mold.
True.
The moment that they pay him, if he hasn't won a Super Bowl by then, he's got to be elite. And I'm not talking...
Hey, Steve Spagnuolo said he's Drew Brees.
What, I don't care. Yeah, and Steve Spagnuolo and that defense, they can say what they want, but what did they do? Who did they take? Here's how you know if a quarterback's elite. This is a very simple exercise. You ready for this? They decided to take the ball out of Christian McCaffrey's hands and put it in Brock Purdy's hands. So you can say all the great things about him and, oh, he's a Christian and I love him. And it's just, no. What do you think about the, and I love that too. I'm a Christian, but you know what? What he didn't say, what he didn't say in that interview is he didn't talk X's and O's.
No.
He talked about him as a human being and how much he loved him.
Yeah.
That's what he talked about. And everybody turned it into like, oh my God, he just said he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. No, he didn't. And the game plan was to take the ball out of Christian McCaffrey's hands. That's what McDuffie said. That was the game plan.
It's true.
If Christian McCaffrey, we all agree, best running back in the game. You agree with that right now?
Overall, when you factor in receiving. Also say Derrick Henry if we're just handing off.
Okay, but overall, best running back in the game. Top two. We'll say top two. Sure. Worst case scenario, top two. Okay. If you have the best running back in the game and you pair him with an elite quarterback, if you pair him with Patrick Mahomes, what do you think the defense is going to try to stop? Patrick Mahomes or Christian McCaffrey?
Patrick Mahomes. Did I get it right?
Josh Allen or Christian McCaffrey?
Josh Allen.
Those are your elite quarterbacks. So if you can't say, hey, if Christian McCaffrey's paired with this guy, we're going to key in on the quarterback, that's not an elite quarterback. Brock Purdy doesn't fit that criteria, at least not yet.
I agree with all of that. And I'm still taking him over Kyle.
And paying him $50 million.
He's not a closer.
That may be true.
But he can take it to the eighth inning, but then he needs to sit down.
You are guaranteed to not win a Super Bowl if you pay a non-elite quarterback elite money. That is what
I guess 30 years of salary cap is for.
That's true. Yeah, I guess. That's a possibility.
Okay, fair enough. Let's answer some super chats because it's been like 45 minutes.
Who thought the non-topic was going to be the biggest debate of the show?
Was great. I like it. Brock is the best in the NFL. I know because PP told me so, duh. Always trying to instigate. Silky Smooth Smithers says, SB lost Kyle versus players going into 2024 season. Kyle versus the players.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that what's happening? Is that what's happening? Tinker $1, Tinker $2. I told y'all, is this a test? What? I don't understand. Yes. Dazza, realistically, the Super Bowl window with the current group is 1, maybe 2 years. Are we that confident a rookie wide receiver can help us get to a Super Bowl? And if underutilized, maybe utilize him rather than trading him.
That's what I said. I think the fifth-year deal might be the best option.
Yeah, let's fire Kyle. I'm down. I've been trying to do it for years. Let's fire Kyle. Stick with Brock. Stick with Ayuk. Bring in someone who knows what the passing game is all about. I'm down. I like that everyone agrees with me. Let's fire Kyle. Tinker is just giving away money, trying to figure out how this works. I told y'all that Trey would get lanced, Varsity Blues. Jim came in and was solid, expected, but you have to admit the last two seasons was pretty dang good. Oh my goodness, all the puns. You're phenomenal.
So many puns. That was actually really well done.
Great. Thank you, Tinker. Really well done. Tinker gives $50 to write six. Tinker, what's going on?
I think he means the sixth Super Bowl. It's the only thing I can think of.
I don't know. Tinker, I feel like you should have got more bang for your buck. What Tinker just did right here is kind of like if the 49ers were to give Brandon Ayuk $27 million a year for six targets a game. Six. That's what I'm talking about. That's a lot of money. You know? Fish and Chip says the Debo contract is making it all more difficult. Yeah, that one was bad.
Yeah, it is, but they can let him go next year. They can let him go next year.
They can. Tinker says, I'm no degenerative, but just like last second in Niner Sports, you'd be right to say I put it all on the line. Just saying, Tinker, you are making it rain, and I'm not sure why, but I appreciate it. Degenerative. Isn't that like, that's not what, that wasn't, what, it's okay. Dave Barclay says, not even a Brock fan and hashtag fire Kyle. Pretty much where I stand. Brother Bob Kyles, it's all good, gents. Kyle Levy will make the Hall of Fame. He's already in it. His dad isn't, though. Wouldn't that be funny if Kyle makes the Hall of Fame with no rings and his dad doesn't get in with two? Ooh, that would be
juicy. Nuts. Yeah. How is his dad not in, but Levy is in? That's kind of, Levy's in, right?
How is Levy in, but Seifert isn't?
It
makes sense.
Dude, I don't know.
Chris O, Niners always talk about the benefits of the cheap quarterback room. So will they trade Brock next offseason and do the same again? I mean, no. I think Kyle has to, unless he's going to change his offense.
No, because Brock's technically cheap next year too. And then if you really want to extend things out, you could have him cheap next year, franchise tag him, and then trade him.
I really hope the Cowboys trade Dak Prescott wherever, or the Raiders, so that Trey Lance can get a shot to play. And if he's good, man, that would just be so juicy. Juicy.
The content would never end.
It would be great content. Joshua Wyatt, man, I haven't seen you in months. I hate your show right now.
For Wyatt, wow.
Not because you're wrong, but because I know that you're right. Slow motion train wreck on its way down the track. I haven't really heard from Joshua Wyatt since the Niners lost the Super Bowl. I was wondering how you were doing, man. Hope you're okay. All the best. Josh Wyatt. Okay, last topic of the day. Is the offensive line really the biggest need, Jesse? If that is your real name. Is that even your real name?
Is that even your real? I don't know. I don't even know. Who am I? It's like the Zoolander thing. He looks in the puddle. Who am I? I don't know. Oh, gosh, man. If they draft an O-lineman, he's likely not going to start this year. So what is one position that if they draft this year could potentially be a starter right away? I think that's cornerback. And not only that, but when I look at what the future holds, I've said it multiple times throughout this show. I'm going to hammer this point home. 39 unrestricted free agents next year, including Diomedor Lenore, Tarvarius Ward, Ambry Thomas, Isaac Yiadom, Talanoa Hufanga. That means you're going to need secondary players in this draft to replace those guys that are not all going to get paid and come back.
And it's not like Isaac Yiadom's really holding it down for whatever role. I mean, who knows?
This is so strange to me. The hype that he's gotten this when he got signed was like, oh my, they found their second corner. Have they though? He's 28 years old. He just now had his first good year. Where's he been all these years? No, they didn't necessarily find their guy, and he's only on a one-year deal anyway. So
yeah,
no matter what, that's a lot of depth gone, which means you can have a guy that starts this year and you can fill some needs for the future because you're going to be losing out on potentially 4/5 of your starters this season or at the end of this season. I think corner might be a bigger need right now than offensive line, as crazy as that sounds.
No, I actually don't disagree. In my mock draft that I haven't actually done, but in my mock draft, I have the Niners taking Iowa DB Cooper DeJean in round one. I don't know if he's a corner or a nickel or a safety. Seems like he can play a little bit of all of it. But I agree. DB in general is a huge need for the Niners. They have no one signed after this year other than Jair Brown. Also, linebacker. Like, who knows what Dre Greenlaw's future holds? And Devondre Campbell, like maybe he was the best player available, but he wasn't their first choice. And he was just on a defense that gave up like 2,100 yards on the ground. Lynch said he's good in coverage. Like, okay, not that good.
Both are free agents this year as well. Both are free agents. Both of them are free agents after this year as well.
Yeah, so linebacker is a big one. Greenlaw's so important to that defense. And I don't know that you're ever getting that Greenlaw back. So if they were to draft the linebacker in round one and say, that's our will, I would understand. I mean, they drafted Reuben Foster at that spot. That's how much they value the position. I don't know if they see a linebacker that they grade that high, but it's a need.
I have a bold prediction for you. We usually do this. We actually hit on a lot of bold predictions this last year. You know that one of my bold predictions was they would have four players go over 1,000 yards, and that actually hit.
Wow. You should put that. That's incredible.
I'm going to actually hang that. I'm going to make a trophy. I'm going to put it behind me. You're going to see it every show.
I predicted the Lions would match on Brock Wright.
Bold prediction. I got a bold prediction for you.
Sure.
This time next year, when Greenlaw is no longer on the team, people aren't going to miss him because Jalen Graham will be that guy. That's my bold prediction.
I like it. Why?
First of all, he's converted safety to linebacker. We know the 49ers turn these guys into superstars. They've done it with Greenlaw. They've done it with Fred Warner. When you look at him last year during training camp, he was the only guy consistently. One-on-ones are set up for the offensive player to win, not when Jalen Graham was on the field. He was the one winning against the tight ends, running backs, Kyle Juszczyk. He was winning constantly. I just think that he's got all the athletic ability that he needs. I think he's very instinctual. I don't know that he's quite the hitter that Greenlaw is, but I think he plays more under control than Greenlaw does. I think that he could be a really good player in this league. I'm excited for him this year.
I like it. I wouldn't be against them adding a little more competition to the room. But yeah, I still think, though, that although offensive line isn't the biggest need on the team, that if they don't take it off, and it's like, okay, well, he's not going to start this year. Okay, well, it's good to have someone in the pipeline because he didn't draft anyone last year. They might be, you know, like you got to develop these guys, and it worked with Aaron Banks. So you have to think a year ahead. So maybe round two, an offensive tackle or someone offensive line in round two at pick 63. That's a good spot. You wait a little bit longer than that. Who knows what you're getting at O-line?
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm not even necessarily advocating that they take a corner round one, depending on who falls to them or a safety. But round three, there's some really, really good corners. One or two of those guys are going to pop. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to draft the guy that does pop, but I would take my chances because there's multiple guys there that I think are going to be pretty damn good and could start right away for the 49ers.
Before we wrap it up, I think it's kind of interesting that we're all talking about Brandon Ayuk. He's eligible for an extension. Oh my God, what is going to happen?
Diamador Lenore?
So is Diamador Lenore, who's really good. I'm not saying he's a future number one corner in the NFL, but I'm not saying he's not. I think right now he's one of the better number two corners in the league. He can play outside. He can play inside. He's a playmaker. He's a tackler. He's 24. Why not?
I think you could get him on a deal similar to Greenlaw. Remember when they signed Greenlaw after the week one against Chicago and he played awful and they got him for dirt cheap looking back on it? I think you could get Demo right now. If you wait till next year, you might have priced yourself out. I think that's a good point. They should be trying to extend him now.
Because Greenlaw was a fifth round pick also.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't the number one linebacker on the team, but he was like a hell of a number two, just like Lenore. So I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. Diamador Lenore, man. He's a hell of a player.
Hell of a player. Got a few more supers, then we're out. Brother Bob says, Iglet, are you the king of instigating? Ask.
Jeez.
That's true. I'll take that one. Papa Phil says, McKivitz is solid. His opponent rarely makes a play. Who on the O-line played better in the Super Bowl? Now Burford needs to go ASAP.
McKivitz gave up 13 sacks this year, didn't he?
He gave up 13 sacks this year. That was more than every other right tackle. Now, three were week one. But I don't know, Papa Phil. Fish and chips. Keep Kyle Shane away from the draft. Fans could do better.
Also, they low key already replaced Burford. Feliciano is going to be the starter. Yeah.
You hear what Feliciano's daughter said to him today? That was cold.
No. What?
Yeah, he picked up his daughter from camp.
Mm-hmm.
And his daughter was like, "Hey, Dad, I played the sport that you failed at. Can you guess which one?" And he was like, "I don't know, basketball." And she was like, no, football. Remember, you lost the big game. I was like, oh, what? She must watch.
She's a fan of Grant Cohen. She's a fan of Grant.
Cold-blooded.
All right. Wait, hold on. You didn't read what he... That was a new one from him.
Oh, Trent Williams' replacement is a concern, says Papa Phil.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is.
No, they got it. Jalen Moore.
Stop. No, the guy they just brought over from the Raiders. That's the guy.
Yeah, he's good. Dave Barkley says, Jess, are you doing a show after this? That was my question.
Oh, I'm actually not. My wife just had surgery. And so, yeah, I'm going to make sure that she's taken care of. I got some things to do. So, no, not tonight.
She can be okay? She all right?
Yeah, she's good. She's going to be good. Okay. Yeah.
Has Kyle extended anyone early? Dre Greenlaw.
Yeah, Greenlaw. There you go.
Greenlaw.
We just talked about it. Yep.
All right, we're going to sneak out of here, guys. Thank you very much for watching. Another great show. Jesse, good stuff. See you guys next time.
Bye, guys. And gals.
And gals. End stream. Hold on. Wait a second. I haven't ended the stream. End stream.